It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Coast to coast, food trucks have gained in popularity. More are being seen around Pittsburgh. City Councilman Dan Gilman has been a champion of the food truck movement in Pittsburgh. He recently spoke with Essential Pittsburgh producer Marcus Charleston.
I've been working on this for probably 5 or 6 years, going back to my time as a staffer for then Councilman Peduta, working with some of our great local entrepreneurs like Tim Tobish from Franctuary to modernize the language, because city food truck law is based off language that was written 30 years ago for ice cream trucks, and it had never been modernized. So we had a need to go in there and make it apply to modern day food trucks. And so we took a lot of time and a lot of draft working to reach some compromises with the restaurant owners and came up with a bill that makes it so food trucks can operate in modern day laws.
Now, there's been some concern about the size of the food truck.
Yeah, it was pointed out to me that the law that's been on the books for 30-plus years talks about how a food truck can't be more than 4 feet wide, and several of the new food trucks violate that section of the law, and unfortunately in all the drafts that went around, neither I nor any of our food truck operators caught that as one of the amendments that need to be made, so I'm going to have to go back in and make an additional change to support those trucks. The challenge we face, of course, is a lot of Pittsburgh streets are pretty narrow, and we need to make sure it still gives appropriate width for public safety.
How long do you think that will take to make that change?
It's something I expect to clear up in the next few weeks.
In time for the Food Truck Palooza?
I don't know the date of that. And remember that this only applies to a food truck that is on city property in a city street. If it's on private property, that's completely different regulation. So if it's a private roundup, this shouldn't impact them.
Okay. The Food Truck Palooza will be taking place at the waterfront on May 21st.
So the waterfront's not in the city of Pittsburgh. It's in Homestead. So none of my regulations apply to that event at all.
Food trucks, since we last talked to you about this issue, I think back in 2013, we've seen a growth of food trucks here in the city.
We've seen tremendous growth, and I think it's a great thing. First of all, it adds vibrancy to city neighborhoods when they're out. Second of all, it's a great entree for a small business owner. We've seen a number of our food truck operators now start to open brick-and-mortar restaurants, and it's another piece of kind of the culinary culture that has put Pittsburgh on the map, not only nationally but internationally, and food trucks are a critical part of that.
Councilman Dan Gilman, thank you for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Always my pleasure. Thank you.
So what is the current state of the Pittsburgh food truck scene? I'm joined now in studio by Tim Tobich. He is co-owner of the Franctuary Food Truck. Tim Tobich, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
And we'd like to know if you have a favorite food truck in Pittsburgh. You can call 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email ESSPGH at WESA.FM. On Twitter at ESSPGH. Again, which food truck is your favorite? Now, Tim Tobich, as you just heard, Councilman Dan Gilman has sponsored some legislation regarding food trucks. Has it made it easier for food truck operators in the city?
In theory, it's going to be much easier to operate once we get the permits, but this 4-foot restriction that he mentioned makes it difficult to get the permit. I was actually contacted by the city a little bit ago to ask if I knew why the size regulation was in there, and I certainly don't know why it's there, but my understanding is that none of us can get the permit right now until that's amended, but as Councilman Gilman referenced, he's working on it, and within the next few weeks, that should be changed, which is great news, because once we can get the permits, huge improvements. We're allowed to stay in one place for more than, or up to 4 hours, I should say, whereas previously, we could stay in one place for 30 minutes, and it would take me 30 to 45 minutes to set up my truck.
Yeah.
So that's a big deal. We're allowed to be within 100 feet of brick-and-mortar restaurants, which I think is much more reasonable. Personally, I'd love to see that restriction, you know, gone completely, but you have to compromise with things like this, and I think it's a huge step in the right direction, and I appreciate all of Councilman Gilman's efforts.
Yeah, the 4 foot, do you know how they came up with that? Because that seems as though it would be impossible to do anything.
Right. It seems inherently obvious to me that every food truck is wider than 4 feet. In fact, I think my Toyota Corolla is wider than 4 feet that I just drive personally. I had actually noticed that in the code. It's not that I missed it, but when you read the vending code, it's very clear that there's something called a vendor and a vehicular vendor. They're two different things, and then they have what they call vehicles, food trucks, I assume, and vending units. And they're very clear, again, that they're two different things. So they'll constantly reference in language vehicle or vending unit. Then they go on to specifically list size limitations on vending units, which is why I think in the past, even before Councilman Gilman's legislation had been updated, this language was in there, but you could still get the food truck permit if you wanted to, because the size restrictions, as I understood, only applied to these vending units, which are not vehicles. So now, for whatever reason, someone has decided to start applying those size restrictions for vending units to vehicles, which doesn't make very much sense to me, but that's the hiccup, and it sounds like we're working through it.
Right, and as Mr. Gilman, mentioned in the conversation, the four-foot rule was originally applied to ice cream trucks when the rules were written over 30 years ago.
I'd imagine even an ice cream truck
I remember old Mr. Softy wasn't 4 feet. He was at least twice that.
What I imagine, and I might be completely wrong, but when I see vending unit and the word peddler, I think they're talking maybe about street carts that would be set up on the sidewalk that have limited size. That's how I always understood it until this came up, so I didn't anticipate it being an issue.
Yeah, but it does sound like as though you're confident that it will be clarified.
Yeah, I know Dan's very motivated to make that happen. As you noted, he's a champion of food trucks, and we really appreciate him doing all the work he's doing. So I do think it will be clarified pretty soon.
So how long have you had your food truck, Tim?
We got our food truck all the way back in the spring of 2010. I think we were one of the first, if not the first, food trucks in the city of Pittsburgh. So a lot has changed over the 6 years, and it's pretty exciting.
So what led you to do that when you were one of the first and you probably didn't know what the market for this really was?
The honest truth is that my business partner and I knew that we had to keep going somehow, and our small restaurant downtown wasn't quite big enough to really make a living for us, although we weren't going out of business. And we knew that food trucks had caught on in some other larger cities on the coasts, and it seemed like an opportunity. It was more affordable. We got some people who were excited to lend us money to buy a truck, and the rest is history. We just went for it.
And since we last talked, what changes have you noticed in the food truck scene in Pittsburgh?
Well, I mentioned, you know, we were one of the first. When we last talked, there were maybe 5 or 6 trucks. I think there are over 30 trucks in the Pittsburgh area now, which is exciting to see. We have a really great collaborative community of food truck operators. So, you know, we're all different businesses, but in a lot of ways we benefit one another and we'll congregate in certain places, and a critical mass of food trucks helps everyone. So that's really exciting. And I can honestly say, too, that even though there's more competition technically in terms of other food trucks, I have more opportunities than ever. So the demand is really growing in this market, which is pretty neat to see and say that, you know, I was a part of in the beginning.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking with Tim Tobich, co-owner of the Franctuary Food Truck, which might be your favorite, or maybe you have another one. We'd like to know if you have a favorite food truck in Pittsburgh. 412-246-2002, the number to call. Or you can just email us, just tweet us, and tell us, this is the one I like. And we'll kind of do an informal poll here. But there's a lot of room for everybody, isn't there, Tim?
Oh, absolutely. I think, I don't know what the saturation point is in this marketplace, but we're nowhere close to it. I think if you're interested in having a food truck and want to do it, this is a pretty great time to get involved in the Pittsburgh scene.
You mentioned getting started with this 6 years ago, and you know, we've talked about how some of the legislation affecting the food truck business is being written. Has operating a food truck in the city changed for you in 6 years?
It hasn't changed too much. One thing about Pittsburgh relative to some other cities, again, there's not quite as much foot traffic here as you might find in larger cities. So for us, the model is really event driven. We go to events. Saturdays are our big day because there are so many events in the warm weather. We go to a lot of office parks just outside the city where people don't have easy lunch options, as opposed to just setting up on the street and hoping an influx of people will come. Again, as the permit rules change, we're certainly going to try more of that. We're excited to try that. But just because Pittsburgh has a smaller population and is a little more spread out than some of the huge cities, I don't know how well that model will work. We're excited to test it out, though, when we have that opportunity with a new permit.
Hot dogs are one of those things that, you know, if you like hot dogs, you're almost going to say that there is no such thing as a bad hot dog. And if you go to New York, you know, they've got those guys with the, you know, the steamed hot dogs on the corners, and you know, you'll go and buy one and you'll eat it and it's pretty good.
Yeah, my dad worked in Manhattan and I grew up on those.
So. Oh, so you, this is in your genes.
It's in my genes. Ah. Yeah, you could say that.
So, all right, but now people are into things that are healthier. They want to know what's in their hot dog. They want the hot dog to be beef. So, you know, have those kinds of demands, how have they impacted how you do your business?
Certainly those demands impact how we do our business. We have a grass-fed beef hot dog, and if you know anything about grass-fed beef, it's significantly more nutritious than what we call conventional beef in this country that's fed corn. It's just the cow simply getting its natural diet. It has a higher omega-3 content. That's something that I care a lot about just because of specific digestive issues I've had in the past and how much grass-fed beef has personally helped me. So it's a big part of our menu. We also have lots of vegetarian options for people who want to be completely meatless, which is a big part of the health conversation today, too.
And what challenges do you think food truck operators in the city face in general?
So in general, I think the obvious biggest challenge as we try to use city streets and these laws change is where do we find parking? Because no matter what, you're going to want to go to a densely populated area, and a densely populated area is going to have very few available parking spaces. Food trucks, you know, are about 20 feet long. So to make it work out in a good spot, you're going to have to get a little bit lucky, or you're going to have to coordinate with some people who can reserve spots for you. That's the biggest challenge I see on the forefront.
We're really tight on time, but I want to work in a call from Amanda in Pittsburgh. Hi, Amanda. You've got about 10 to 15 seconds here. Go ahead.
Hello, I'm Amanda. Hello.
Yes. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I was wondering where this nice gentleman sees the food truck scene going in the next couple of years in Pittsburgh, and where he might suggest somebody seek funding if they have a business plan for one.
Okay, and quickly, Amanda, before we let you go, what is your favorite food truck in Pittsburgh? Oh, she's gone. Okay, so in answer to her question.
Yeah, in answer to her question, the public library in Pittsburgh downtown actually occasionally hosts a how to start a food truck forum that I speak at. I'd recommend checking that out. And as far as where the scene goes, I think it's only going to grow.
And you'll be at Food Truckapalooza taking place at the Pump House at the Waterfront 1 month from today, right?
I will indeed. Looking forward to it.
We'll see you there. And I think I heard a vote for Franctuary. So there you go. Tomorrow on Tim Tovich of Franctuary, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate
it. My pleasure.
Tomorrow on Essential Pittsburgh, we celebrate Earth Day. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.